It's fair to say that the concerns of South Asia attract attention. The same could not be said, though, for Western Sahara. That's the arid but mineral-rich desert in northwest Africa. It's one of those troubled parts of the globe that barely gets noticed. The world's Alex Galifant caught up with a man in Manhattan who's been trying to get the world to care about Western Sahara.
There's a hotel opposite the United Nations building in New York City. It's one of those big chain hotels, complete with a standard issue bar that time forgot. It's bright mid-morning outside. Down here, underground, in the bar of plush velvet and low lighting, it could be any time at all.
Hello.
This is where I've come to meet Ahmed Buhari, the delegate of the Polisario Front to the United Nations. Every inch the diplomat, mini bottle of mineral water, restless cell phone, and a general sense of being a very busy man, his job hasn't changed in years. Get international support for a referendum on the future of Western Sahara.
We are in a very long process of persuading member states to help.
That's a bit of an understatement. Western Sahara is perhaps the United Nations' longest-running failure. Here's the abbreviated story. Western Sahara is a coastal region of Africa, bordered by Morocco, Mauritania, and Algeria. Spanish colonial rule ended in the mid-1970s. Since then, there's been a dispute over who it belongs to: Morocco, which moved in shortly after, or the Sahrawi people, represented by their self-declared political leadership, the Polisario Front. The two camps fought for a decade. Thousands were killed. Much of Western Sahara's population fled to refugee camps, where they remain today. A ceasefire was reached in 1991, and the United Nations moved in to keep the peace. It also got both parties to agree to a referendum on independence for Western Sahara, planned for the following year. Polisario delegate Ahmed Buhari delivers the kicker.
So far, that referendum, even promised by United Nations in 1991, never took place.
At first, they couldn't agree on who was eligible to vote. And soon, waiting, inertia, and deadlock became the status quo. The UN kept trying to get things moving. Former US Secretary of State James Baker served as the UN envoy to the region. Here he is speaking in 1997.
This is going to be a referendum. It's going to have equal access to media. It's going to have freedom of assembly, freedom of press, international observers, and all the rest. So I think we've made some really substantial progress.
He was wrong. Eric Goldstein is research director for the Middle East and North Africa Division of Human Rights Watch.
Politically, there's been no movement, and one UN special envoy after another has come and been unable to bridge the gap between the two sides.
The Polisario blames Morocco. Morocco doesn't officially recognize the Polisario. So Polisario delegate Ahmed Buhari sits in the bar of a hotel opposite the United Nations, trying to be heard.
We are a full member of the African Union, but we are not member of the United Nations still. But there is some difficulties in reaching all people.
He can access the UN building, but that doesn't translate into access. The United States doesn't have diplomatic relations with the Polisario, but Buhari is trying to get a meeting with the new US ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice.
I requested through appropriate means and ways to see her 2 months ago, and still I'm waiting.
In recent years, Morocco changed tactics, offering limited autonomy to Western Sahara under Moroccan rule. The Polisario rejected that idea out of hand. It's still holding out for the referendum. Buhari says its latest hope is President Obama.
We would like to see a change in which we can believe.
He's even prepared to cast himself as a kind of Polisario John Adams to make his case.
I am attracted by American history. And that time, U.S. representative going to Europe by sea to reach Europe, it was 2 months. And going, returning, coming back. Now it is easier in that term of technology and sophistication, internet. What is not easy to overcome that at that time the nation were very sensitive to any just freedom, struggle for freedom. Now they are more sensitive to business.
That's Buhari's realistic side coming through. Here it is again.
I am sure that Western Sahara is not in the highest priority in U.S. agenda.
Eric Goldstein at Human Rights Watch says Western Sahara has long suffered from neglect by the international community. He draws a contrast with another long-running crisis, the dispute between Israel and the Palestinians.
And there's endless resources put to trying to resolve that. And this one involves fewer people. It involves, you know, a region that is considered more peripheral. But the suffering is there, and it's dragged on since the 1970s. And there just is not yet the political will to try to resolve this particular conflict.
Political will tends to emerge out of self-interest. Goldstein mentions one issue that might push Western Sahara up the Western agenda.
Although there's been absolutely no proven link, no link at all, between Al-Qaeda and the Polisario or the Western Sahara conflict, people say that it's important to resolve this piece of the puzzle to help to secure the region against any kind of infiltration by international terrorism.
There's already concern over Islamic militant activity in northern Africa. U.S. Ambassador to the UN Susan Rice recently commented that the long-running impasse in Western Sahara was preventing regional cooperation on urgent and emerging issues. If Western Sahara became a pressing issue for the United States, the U.S. might move to end the deadlock in favor of either Morocco or the Polisario. Either way, the long wait of Ahmed Buhari would end too. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant, New York.